This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie-Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Hello, atheists, agnostics, infidels, heathens, and all of you who were born right the first time. I'm Annie-Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio. This is the weekend of January 8th and 9th, 2011. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting Madison, Wisconsin. We're broadcasting on several other stations around the nation, and we're podcasting. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I am an original co-founder with my mother, Ann Nicole Gaylor, back in 1976. And I remember when there were just two and three of us, and now we're 16,000 members around the country who are personally free from religion ourselves. And we work to keep the government free from religion, which is what is required by our secular constitution. And we hope someday, today, in fact, you will join FFRF. We have 10 issues a year of a newspaper called Free Thought Today. It's very lively, usually a 24-pager. And we report not only on FFRF news and actions, but the state of the separation between church and state and free thought in the news. So why not go to FFRF.org, sign up, and if not, you can just ask for a sample copy of Free Thought Today and more information, and we'd be glad to send that, and we would appreciate your support for this radio show and FFRF's work. And of course, by now you may have figured out, I'm all by myself this week. My co-host, Dan Barker, who I'm also married to, is home recuperating. And he had surgery to remove an impassable kidney stone. And unfortunately, the surgery didn't work. And he has to go back in a couple of weeks and do it all over again. And he told me to tell you, please don't pray for him. And by the way, when he was going down for, this was general anesthesia, I'm not sure if this was the brightest thing he ever did. He told a joke, and I'm going to repeat it. To the anesthesiologist, he said, have you ever heard this joke? And he said, here's an anesthesiologist counting down a patient, $1,000, $1,000 in one, $1,000. Anyway, the anesthesiologist was tactful and left.
Wait until you get the bell.
Yes. And that's Brian Tirani. Brian, so I'm really not by myself. Brian is our engineer and producer. So thanks for being on this show, Brian.
Well, it's not going to be the same during breaks in between the segments. Who's going to do calisthenics in the studio?
Right. Maybe that's why he's got kidney stones. I don't know.
Maybe that's why he held them off this long.
Right. And I should say that Dan will be back next week, and he'll be back with another Dan. That's Daniel Dennett of Tufts University, who is going to talk about his ongoing project researching ministers who are atheists who have not yet come out of the closet. And this is a project dear to Dan's heart, my Dan's heart, since he was once for a very short painful interlude, one of those clergy who had lost faith but hadn't figured out a way to extricate himself from his religious career. So that will be next week. But this week we have a very interesting show. We have two guests, so I really won't be all by myself. We have a news-making lineup today. In a minute, I'm going to introduce our first guest, who's a dad who says his lack of faith cost him custody. And on the second half of today's program, I'm delighted to announce that we'll be talking with Steve Trunk. He's a true atheist in a foxhole. He served in Vietnam. He has been an FFRF member and board member for decades. And he just won on Monday, on Tuesday, he won a ruling by the Ninth Circuit agreeing with him that this enormous cross on Mount Soledad in San Diego is unconstitutional. And this is a case that has been going on for 23 years. So we'll be talking with Steve Trunk on the second half of Free Thought Radio about that. Now, before I welcome our first guest, who's Craig Scarberry, I thought it would be helpful to play something from one of the many interviews he's done. This is actually an introduction that kind of covers the situation very efficiently, and this is from the Alona show.
Does having a certain religious point of view make you a better mother or father? Is that up to the courts to decide? Despite many claiming that America is a Christian nation, the legal framework of this country would by all accounts say, no, you're free to practice whatever religion you choose, and the court can't judge you on it. But one divorced Indiana father believes that he lost custody of his children because he's agnostic. Craig Scarberry had joint 50-50 custody of his three children with his ex-wife for 4 years, until a judge ruled last month that he'd be limited to only 4 hours visitation time per week and custody once every second weekend. Apparently, the only thing he can find in the ruling to justify this change is a Superior Court Commissioner's comment that the father did not participate in the same religious training as the mother. Father was agnostic. It also said, quote, when the father considered himself a Christian, the parties were able to communicate relatively effectively, communication being a key element of the divorced couple's agreement. But is that unconstitutional?
Craig Scarberry on the phone with us from Indiana to talk about what happened to him last November when a judge became aware that he had lost his faith in Christianity and had become an agnostic. So are you there, Craig?
I am. How's it going, Annie?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm fine, and we're talking to you from Indiana.
Yes, that's correct.
Thanks for joining us today. And you came on late. We just were playing a little bit of the Alona show. And can you tell us what exactly happened? I know that you have three children and you're divorced. How did you lose custody?
Well, we've been divorced for closer to 4 years than we were three. We were able to share joint 50-50 custody, 50% legal and 50% physical custody during that time. Earlier this year, communication kind of broke down, and as things progressed, she took me back to court for modification of custody and eventually had won her case against me, basically using my religion or my religious preference as her main focal point and attack to be able to get the upper hand inside the courtroom.
Well, I do have in front of me a copy of the order by the commissioner. This is the Madison County Superior Court. And I'm quoting from this order, quote, evidence indicated that the petitioner father did not participate in the same religious training that the respondent mother exercises, and that the petitioner father was agnostic. And then it goes on to state that at the time of the property settlement agreement, the petitioner father considered himself a Christian and the parties were able to communicate relatively effectively. So that certainly does look like he took into account your loss of faith and factored that into your loss of joint custody. So that must have been quite a shock.
Oh, definitely. I still, even after a few months later, I still am in a state of shock about it. I share the same sentiment as most people who hear this story. There's got to be more. You know, there's got to be more to the story. But essentially, there isn't. There were a few other things that they brought up in court that we were able to refute and show proof and evidence towards. But ultimately, it just... Definitely, it's floored me, and my change in my personal preference did not have any effect on the children at all. And Indiana Code states that, you know, the religious training can be taken into account of the children, but the point was I did not interfere with the children's religious training because we both had agreed initially in our divorce that this is where we started. And I knew that I need to maintain status quo in order to maintain my time with those children.
Okay, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor interviewing Craig Scarberry. He's an Indiana father who has lost joint custody of his three children, in part because he went from being a Christian to an agnostic. And this is Free Thought Radio. We're going to be right back with the second half of our interview with Craig Scarberry. He's got a lot to tell us. It's quite an injustice. There was a big rally on December 16th that we'll hear about, and we'll hear about his appeal of this, what sounds like a total miscarriage of justice.
Hi, I'm Marty from Ackworth, Georgia, and thank goodness for the FFRF and Freethought Radio.
This is Freethought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Annie Laurie for Free Thought Radio. I'm a co-founder and now co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which produces Free Thought Radio. And our guest today is Craig Scarberry. He is a young father with three children, divorced, and was just telling us the story of how a judge denied him joint custody because he's an agnostic. So welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Craig.
Thank you, Annie.
And now you were telling me during the break, you're in healthcare now, but you were a medic, served in the Navy, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And so at that time, go ahead.
I was a hospital corpsman. We actually gave care to those in the Navy and the Marine Corps.
And so at the time that you were serving, you were not one of those proverbial atheists in a foxhole, but today you're an agnostic. What is your religious pedigree?
My father is agnostic. My mother is Christian. When we were children growing up, we were definitely raised. My father, encouraged us to do what my mother wanted, and we were raised in church and had a foundation with that. Although my mother was. My mother is a Christian. She always promoted us to think for ourselves and to ask questions and explore and things like that. And even though a good portion of my family are believers, they're very supportive of my personal beliefs and understand that I have the right and the knowledge to be able to make my own decisions on what I believe is truth.
And so you were going to church when you were married, I presume, or at least nominally Christian. And after you got divorced, what happened?
Well, after we got divorced, I wouldn't say that we went to church on a regular basis throughout our marriage. It was just one of those things where I had taken my religious standpoint seriously, and so I wasn't. That was something that I wasn't afraid to profess, but I never stopped. I never stopped the inquiry. I never stopped the constant movement towards progression. And this is where, through my own experiences and reading and people that I have met and talked to, and just everything through my own logical experience that I have ended up with myself, and I still respect the boundaries that religion can, or I still respect the role that religion can play in many people's lives, and I respect the freedoms that we have that as a veteran we protected for everybody to have in this country, and that's what makes this such a tragedy.
Now you told the Herald Bulletin newspaper, "I'm a good, loving father, and this ruling has taken my children away. I wasn't interfering in their right to be brought up in a Christian environment. You noted the children still attend a Christian school and church services as they have done in the 4 years that you had joint custody." So did your former wife just bring this up as a weapon? She realized you had changed your mind?
Right. And I have actually been agnostic, even though we were divorced for almost 4 years. I was agnostic for a little over two of those years, and there was no issue until she wanted to make it one. But they definitely attacked me on my religious standpoint. Her attorney wanted to, they questioned how legit my oath was, because I had to give testimony under God.
Well, but there's always a right to do a secular affirmation.
Right.
So that's really, that's a terrible thing that they would question that. You mean they did that right. in the custody hearing?
Yes.
So they
yeah,
would...
They, the judge actually swore us all in at the same time, so we didn't really have a chance to, you know, do it individually. And you know, he did the under God thing. Then the attorney says, well, sir, if you don't believe in God and you took this oath, who's to say you're not there lying about everything you're saying right now? Well, you tell me what the oath means to you if you have to say under God. And that's when I said, well, it's a verbal contract to my integrity, and I'm not up here to jeopardize my integrity for you or this court or anybody else.
Did you have an attorney with you?
Yes, I did.
Because that attorney should have been able to point out you should have had the right to an affirmation.
Yes.
So now you are appealing, and you have got some support from the ACLU of Indiana. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, they're handling everything on the appeal level and on the state level with the appeal. Currently, we're trying to get a motion to stay in place where that would give me back. That would put this new order. That would set aside this new order and let the old order go back into effect with 50-50 custody until the appeals process is over, and they're also handling that.
Now, you are able to see your children still?
Yes. I have standard Indiana parenting guidelines where we alternate holidays, plus I get them every other weekend, and I'm supposed to get them for a midweek visitation session, but even though I'm supposed to get that, I've been having some issues with having my ex be compliant with that.
And they're pretty little. I mean, let's see. The newspaper says 7, 6, and 4. So,
actually, my youngest daughter just turned 5 yesterday.
Oh, so. Happy birthday! Happy birthday. Her name is Ava.
Yes, Ava.
Well, if people want more information, how can they find out more about this case?
We have a Facebook page set up, the Craig Scarberry Legal Fund. If you search it on Google or whatever, it'll definitely come up. It's open to everybody. Got plenty of links and also of everything going on. Plus, there's a donation button if anybody'd like to help.
Well, we wish you good luck. And Scarberry is spelled Scarberry, and we'll follow your case and update people. Excuse me.
Thank you very much, Annie.
Thank you so much, and we'll be coming right back to speak to Steve Trunk, an atheist in a foxhole who just won a big case before the Ninth Circuit against a cross on public property.
Hi, I'm Steve Solomon from Wildwood, Missouri, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, back for Free Thought Radio. Dan Barker will come back next week. I am flying solo this week, but no, God is not my co-pilot. And I'm very pleased to have on the phone with me for our second guest today, Steve Trunk. He has been a member of FFRF forever, for as long as I can remember. He is from San Diego. He is a Vietnam War vet. And several years ago, Steve Trunk took over as a lead plaintiff in a lawsuit that has been going on for close to, and I am not kidding you, a quarter of a century, challenging a huge 43-foot-tall cross on Mount Soledad in La Jolla, San Diego. And guess what? First good news of the year. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Tuesday, January 4th, 2011, that this cross on public property is truly unconstitutional. So congratulations for a great victory, Steve.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Well, you must be very, very pleased.
Oh yeah, we're pretty happy. My attorney Jim was breaking open the champagne last night.
I should think so. Now you are also you're the lead plaintiff, but also the Jewish War Veterans of the United States.
Right, there's a couple of other individuals, one of whom I believe is Muslim, and
it's Richard Smith, Mina Seghab, and Judith M. Copeland.
Right.
And are these all vets of some type, or taxpayers, or?
Obviously taxpayers. I don't know for sure the veteran status of the other litigants.
But you
and,
are.
I am a veteran, of course. The guy who got this all rolling, Phil Paulson, was also a veteran, combat veteran, two tours in Vietnam. And then, of course, the Jewish War Veterans is a group that has been around since the Civil War. So they're not an organization that just sort of popped up out of nowhere.
And the reason that veteran status is important is because although this cross has been on this public property for nearly a century, in 1954 it was supposedly dedicated in honor of Korean War veterans. And
right. In the dedication ceremony, they did kind of mention that it was dedicated to Korean War veterans, to honor those veterans. But in the larger sense, it was designated the Mount Soledad Easter Cross, not the Mount Soledad Korea Veterans Memorial.
And we have had Philip Paulson on Free Thought Radio many years ago, before he died, and he was the original plaintiff, and you assumed his role after he died, and he would have been thrilled with this victory, but of course this had a lot of ups and downs. He had won, essentially, many, many years ago, and then it's just been in Appealsville forever, and it's a complicated case, so well, why don't you just tell us how it started and what's been going on?
Yes, and ironically, the case has gone on so long and had so many twists and turns to it. A script writer probably couldn't think up stuff this good. And it's almost that the cross has now gained enough historical significance that it could no longer be a cross. It could actually be a historical monument along the same lines as the missions. Phil started this in the late 80s, and to his credit, he did it all by himself. He didn't have an attorney. He was not an attorney himself. He was, like me, kind of an IT guy, and he did all the legal footwork himself, won the case, and at that point when the case was won, that cross was a completely standalone cross. There was nothing there to indicate that it was any kind of war memorial. If you looked at a map, it was the Mount Soledad Easter Cross.
And they used it annually for Easter services.
Right, but there was never any record that anybody could find of there ever having been any kind of service there on V-Day or D-Day or Veterans Day or anything to do with veterans. It was all about Easter. And once that case was won and the judge ruled in Phil Paulson's favor that the cross was unconstitutional and had to come down, then it suddenly became a war memorial. The Mount Soledad Memorial Association was formed and they started physically adding things to it to dress it up as a war memorial. And everything that has happened since then in the past 21 years has been both the city and federal governments trying to keep the cross on the land, circumventing what the judge told them to do.
And I remember that they, at one time, they put it up for bid. You could apply to put something around it to turn it into something else, and the Freedom from Religion Foundation bid on it. We said we wanted to put up a monument to atheists in foxholes. And actually, we ended up putting that plaque up, a big monument up at Lake Hypatia at Freethought Hall in Alabama, after it was rejected by the city. But it was sort of a done deal where they knew they were going to give this bid to the so-called the veterans who were there just to keep the cross in place.
And, right, and the land transfer, the land was actually sold to the Memorial Association, but then that land transfer was later ruled illegal because the city had stipulated in the bid that the cross had to stay. Whoever bought the land had to maintain the cross. So it was clearly a move to maintain a cross illegal in and of itself.
But the question before the Ninth Circuit was that the cross that was originally on city land had been transferred to the federal government through this 2006 congressional initiative where these two members of Congress who were ultra-religious right intervened in this case and declared it a federal, I guess. Is that right? A federal memorial?
Right. The original finding was under the California Constitution. And the thinking was that if the land were transferred to the federal government, the cross would then be protected under the free exercise clause.
And so this has all been duked out over and over again. Now, this is not the first time that this case has gone up to the Ninth Circuit. And I notice in the first couple pages of their decision, the judge, this is a woman judge. What is her name?
McEwen, I think.
McEwen. She writes that the Latin cross, long acknowledged as a preeminent Christian symbol, remains as a towering 43-foot structure, the dominant feature of the memorial. As we concluded the last time we considered this matter, albeit under the California Constitution, this sectarian war memorial carries an inherently religious message and creates an appearance of honoring only those servicemen of that particular religion. And she's citing the Ninth Circuit back in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, what a case.
And yeah, this has been back and forth, and since it's now become literally federal, and that's when the ACLU stepped in, and they've really been doing a huge amount of the work here. But I've got to give a lot of credit to my lawyer Jim McElroy, who's associated with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and he has done. He has just worked tirelessly on this.
And he worked with Phil Paulson, too, right?
He did.
Yes.
And
Phil eventually got legal representation here.
Right. And Phil, like I say, he did it completely on his own at first. So that was a great victory for Phil.
Now, I remember when we interviewed Phil that, this cross originally went up in 1913. Well, we'll talk about it. We're out of time for this segment, but we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about how Gregory Peck figures into this case. And we are talking with an atheist in a foxhole, a legal victor, Steve Trunk, about a decision that just came down this week in his favor, getting rid of that 43-foot cross in La Jolla, California, that's been planted there illegally for just about forever. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio, and we'll be back for the final segment to talk with Steve.
Hi, this is David Hall from Kensington, Maryland, which is just outside Washington, D.C., and I'm listening to Free Thought Radio, and thank you, Judge Crabb.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Dan will be back next week, and I've got on the phone with us an atheist in the foxhole extraordinaire, a legal victor, Steve Trunk from San Diego, who just this week as the lead plaintiff, won a ruling by the Ninth Circuit saying that the Mount Soledad cross in La Jolla, California, on public property has to go. It's unconstitutional. Congratulations again, Steve.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Now, I'm going to read just a little bit of the ending of that decision. It quotes you. One of the plaintiffs, Steve Trunk, explained that he was a veteran who served his country during the Vietnam conflict, but I'm not a Christian, and the memorial sends a very clear message to me that the government is honoring Christian war veterans and not non-Christians. The story of the death and resurrection of Christ, the story that the cross calls to mind, moves only Christians deeply. This is quoting a decision. And then the decision ends by claiming to honor all service members with a symbol that is intrinsically connected to a particular religion. The government sends an implicit message to non-adherents that they are outsiders, not full members of the political community, and an accompanying message to adherents that they are insiders, favored members of the political community. And that's the Lynch decision. We quote that a lot. And so they say, accordingly, after examining the entirety of the Mount Soledad Memorial in context, having considered its history, its religious and non-religious uses, its sectarian and secular features, the history of war memorials, and the dominance of the cross, we conclude that the memorial, presently configured and as a whole, primarily conveys a message of government endorsement of religion that violates the Establishment Clause. So, that's their decision. I mean, unfortunately, they have a couple of postscripts I don't like. But you must be very pleased because this case has been going on for almost a quarter of a century.
Yeah, this is a very big step forward in maybe finally getting this thing resolved. The decision that the Ninth handed down, they were asked to rule on a rather very specific aspect of the previous case, the previous decision by Judge Larry Burns, who essentially said that the cross was not that the cross could stay there because it was not a it in fact was a secular symbol as part of this war memorial, and you know, frankly, if I were a Christian, I would be deeply offended by that, because what the judge has said is that the preeminent symbol of my religion is no longer the preeminent symbol of my religion. It is simply another object that adorns a monument.
And, of course, as you pointed out in the third segment of our show, that this was never called a memorial. There was never any use of it as a war memorial, ostensibly anyway, until after Phil Paulson won his case saying that it was unconstitutional. And,
correct.
And Phil just didn't live long enough to see this. I mean, and it was so convoluted. In 2004, the city of San Diego and the plaintiffs and this War Veterans Association had actually reached an agreement to move the cross to a nearby church. And then these two Republican congressmen intervened and inserted a rider into the 2005 omnibus budget bill, designating the property as a National Veterans Memorial and authorizing the federal government to accept the donation of the property. So that's one of the things that the Ninth Circuit was ruling on. And so we'll just have to wait and see whether they appeal it to the Supreme Court. But you have yourselves a very good victory here.
Yeah, because basically this decision puts it back in the arena of actually being a religious symbol on federal land, so now we can deal with that.
And I also...
The previous judge had, you know, essentially removed that very important component.
And they addressed this very head-on. The decision by the Ninth Circuit said, this war memorial with its imposing cross stands as an outlier among war memorials, even those incorporating crosses. Contrary to any popular notion, war memorials in the United States have not traditionally included or centered on the cross, and according to the party's evidence, there is no comparable memorial on public land in which the cross holds such a pivotal and imposing stature, dwarfing by every measure the secular plaques and other symbols commemorating veterans. Now, I teased the listeners by saying that Gregory Peck figured into this when I'd interviewed the original litigant Phil Paulson, he pointed out that in his autobiography, Gregory Peck remembered seeing this cross burning on Mount Soledad as a kind of a KKK message to non-white residents in La Jolla. So there's a lot of history there.
There's a very important component, too, because it just has to be taken with the context of the history of this area. And in the 20s and into the 30s, San Diego was really a hotbed of racism and anti-Semitism and KKK activity. And in the late 20s, I believe, or mid-20s, the entire city and a good part of the police force were all open, active KKK members. It was in the area where the cross is, La Jolla. It was actually codified into law that nobody that was not white Anglo-Saxon Protestant would live there.
So it was
a very anti-Semitic area, and
so this
the official history is that the cross in 1933 a cross was destroyed by vandals. And if you kind of read the history with a little bit between the lines, that could easily mean burned by the KKK. And Gregory Peck apparently was witness to some of this when he was a boy and used it as motivation to go on to
play Atticus,
make films like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it came up in his autobiography. Well, Steve, we have just about run out of time. I'm talking with Steve Trunk. You're going to be this year's Atheist in Foxhall honoree at our national convention, which will be in Connecticut in October, right? We'll see you there. And you can read the case, Steve Trunk versus City of San Diego, if you Google it online. Thank you so much for joining us and for winning this case. I'm Annie Lowe Gaylor with Free Thought Radio. Thank you to Brian Tirani, our engineer and producer. That's Buzz Kemper, our announcer. And we'll be back next week with more secular broadcasting. Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021 to join FFRF and keep the non-faith.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.